Chapter 8, Conversations on the Wall. In 2 weeks, school was out for the summer. Slowly, Rennie was getting used to being ignored by Julie, and by many of the other non-Italian kids, too. At least they weren't being mean. Perhaps their parents had warned them about that. Still not playing with Julie hurt a lot. The bakery had become a gathering place for grown-ups. Rick and Serge worked there all day, and Mama joined them when the housework was finished. Mama's friend came every afternoon to buy their bread and cakes and sit on chairs that lined the wall where the pictures had been. Rennie kept a game of parcheesi, some cards, and old movie star paper dolls in the back room where she hung around with Anna and Pietra, hoping for a few scraps of pastry to munch on. Business had fallen off badly, and Mama was giving almost nothing away. Everyone suffers in time like this, someone would explain. The talk of the grown-ups was distressing, and Rennie was trying not to hear it, but sometimes the words, along with the anger and despair, seemed to bombard her ears. Helen Hobinski went on about all the helpful things Papa had done for community people, but they see only that he helps Italians, no one else, so he must love Mussolini. Nonsense. Signora Scioppa lamented, "It's all stupid. Now that they've closed the mines, no one eats good." Mrs. Byrne was thoughtful. "No, but the men wouldn't work with the Italians. Closing them down was the only fair thing to do. That way, everyone suffers the same." Luisa De Vita threw her hands up. "Wonderful, and my husband's business is Italy. So we all starve together. In war, no one wants to understand the other." Mrs. Hobinski tried to explain. "So what do I feed my babies now? Polenta and what you English people call porridge? That's all?" Signora Scioppa sighed. "Do you remember," she asked the Italian ladies, "when some of us had hope in Mussolini, he would bring jobs and roads and good government to the old country. And now look." "Yes," said Mama, "some thought that. Some would dream of anything for Italy. Most of us over here knew nothing about Mussolini. Now I have barely enough money for 2 good meals a day, but I can't make them send Cosimo back." When Rennie lay her head down at night, her mind woke up, and the tiny flowers on her walls became 1,000 words speaking the conversations of the day. Sometimes, horrified, she found that her eyes were wet and she would rub the wetness into her pillow. She remembered everything about Papa and her together. He took her to school on her very first day when she was 6 because he wanted to. His step was cheerful all the way there, and he'd laughed at the nuns. "They think they're so mighty. Wait till they see a father bringing his daughter to school." She remembered how he coaxed her to make bread. "You push and pull and make your hands strong. You go smooth, sweet dough that smells so good in the oven." His face fell in disappointment every time she refused to try it. She remembered him patiently tightening her roller skates and watching her take off down the sidewalk. She remembered him hugging her when she was grumpy and telling her she was the most prickly porcupine this side of Atlantic. She would say, "Then you couldn't hold me so tight," Papa would laugh, "Ivero, that's true," and hug her more tightly. She remembered also the times she stayed at Julie's all day while the rest of the family canned tomatoes for winter. She could almost hear his tyrant voice, "This, signorina, is how you treat your family," and the stinging switch he smacked across her backside, making her scream. She hoped Papa remembered the good things because she missed him so much and she knew how special he was. In the quiet dark of her room, she might let the tears trickle down the sides of her face until her hair was drenched and her sadness ached all the way through her. How could she help? The garden was Papa's. He'd planted it. Besides, the harvest wouldn't be until fall. What could she do that would help the family right now? Something that was only hers and that would make Papa proud. Finally, one day in July, when Rennie came home from playing with Anna and Pietra, Mama met her at the door, her eyes all flushed with wetness, but a strange and happy smile on her face. She put an arm around Rennie's shoulder and guided her rapidly to the kitchen. A letter came from Papa. "Sit, sit, I will read it to you. Oh, Renna, he is all right. He is not home, but he is all right. Listen." Rennie sat down and joyfully looked into Mama's glowing face. Mama seemed to have words again, thoughts to share a little happiness like her old self, that Rennie found herself thinking was a good and hearing from Papa. But oh, to know Papa was safe. She listened raptly as Mama read. "My dear Katerina and children, what a worry this is for you. I am so sorry. I'm at a camp in Ontario called Petawawa. There are about 500 Italians here. In a way, that is lucky for us, because we can use our own language. That gives us much comfort, and friendship are good. So though we are prisoners, we are not entirely miserable. Camp Petawawa is in a beautiful forest, but barbed wire fence surround us. We have good food and shelter, and are taken into the forest every day to cut wood for our furnaces and stoves. I make all the bread for the men in this section, and that too is a comfort. We can walk around the camp, so do not worry. I am safe and not frightened for myself. It is terrible not to speak to you and hug you. We can write only 3 letters of 24 lines every month, and you can do the same, but remember that the soldiers will read your letters before they give them to me. When will I be home? I do not know. But you, my dear family, how are you? We'll send you a few dollars a month from my work cutting trees, but it will not be much. Ricardo, I hope you are managing the bakery. Sergio, I hope you were not hurt at the mines. Is it true they are closed? My daughters and little son, I hope you are good to your mama and each other. What are you doing for money? These are 24 lines. Arrive, Dersi, my dear ones. All my love, Cosimo and Papa." With a happy, sad lump in her throat, Rennie watched Mama put down the letter, then urgently take Rennie's cheeks in her hands. "It is so good. It is so bad. What shall we do?" Mama cried. "Write to him, Mama, can we? I know just what I want to tell him." She had swallowed her lump and was smiling. Papa was safe. He wasn't in jail cell. And she had decided what to do to make him proud and to help the family. "Yes, we all write to him. When we're together, we'll do it tonight." And that is what they did. They each had 4 lines, and Rick said they must think very carefully about what to say so they wouldn't waste space. At the kitchen table, under Rick's and Serge and Loretta's notes, Rennie wrote, "Papa, I was scared when they took you away, but I've been brave. I've only cried a little, and I haven't picked on Roberto. I'm going to learn to make breadsticks and sell them to people and make money. Are you surprised and happy?" Those were her 4 lines, but something worried her. Holding her pen away from the paper, she looked up at Mama intently. "I don't have room to say I love you and I hope you come home soon." "That's all right," Mama smiled. "Papa already knows that." Rick said he'd love to teach her to make breadsticks, and he didn't remind her that it wasn't bread making. Mama said that it was a wonderful idea, but the garden was more important. She must make certain that it was well watered, well weeded, and free of insects, because they would need to can all the vegetables they could get for the winter. And Mama cautioned her, "Go only to our friends' homes. I won't have you disturbing others." Rennie frowned at that. How then was she to make people like them again? But Mama, seeing the look on Rennie's face, raised her eyebrows in warning.